With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
And it is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. It is June, and maybe actually starting to actually feel like June in Western PA. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Welcome in to episode 61. Good Lord, we've made it through 60 of these things already of Kabali and Mac live on YouTube and, of course, on X, all your social media. Just search Kabali and Mac. You'll keep up to date with everything going on. Of course, if you subscribe on YouTube, where we're up to 1,613 followers, subscribers or so, you'll be in the running. If you're one of the first 2,500 to win an autographed Paul Skeens baseball, thanks to our good friends from First and Goal Sports out at South Hills Village. We thank them for supporting the show with all the awesome giveaways. I did get a hold of Jason in Florida, who is going to be getting that Pat Freiermuth autographed helmet shipped out to him today. He is Mark Kabali, veteran Steelers reporter, who's got all the insight for you. Week two of OTAs gets started tomorrow. I'm just Chris Mack, a guy with a microphone and a laptop in his basement, but here we are talking about week two of OTAs. The news out of week one of OTAs, Mark, was relatively uneventful. You gave us the rundown, the third and fourth wide receivers on down on the roster getting more reps. Because DK Metcalf wasn't there for a couple days, and they still don't have a number two wide receiver, which we can talk about in a minute or two. There was obviously no Aaron Rodgers, which we will definitely talk about today. The offensive line, Broderick Jones getting back on his good side, on the left side. But the biggest news last week in Steelers land was golf clap to you. It's been picked up by most that there is that offer on the table for, and you're still wearing the hat until the deal gets done, TJ Watt. Just might not be to his liking to this point.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know any specifics of money. Of course, I'm not going to know any specifics, but, you know, getting tipped off, been looking into it a little bit more. There's something on the table. I mean, who knows? I mean, it could be just miles and miles apart. I mean, we don't really know right now, but this is the process it takes. It is. It's just a process. I mean,
miles and miles, Garrett, apart on this deal.
Well, I don't honestly. I obviously we haven't talked to him. Maybe he shows up tomorrow. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I just don't believe that he's too worried about that final number. Just based off of what he signed for last time, I think he's more worried about those first 2 years. And why not?
If guaranteed I can guarantee money,
that's what I would be. No, I don't think if you can get 2 years of guaranteed money like he did last year, something that the Steelers really never did before or rarely ever did before, then you're 33 and have a chance to go, you know, potentially move on one way or the other. Steelers move on, they move on, or end your career. That I think that's the play here. I don't really care if it's 4 for $120, or
it's all about what actually ends up in your bank account. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me that guaranteed stuff in the bank, baby. Then we can deal with this 2 years down the road. Now, how much are they offering him? Who knows? I mean, how much guaranteed? Who knows? Maybe they only want 1 year.
You made a good point on Friday, I think, when we talked, though, and you brought this up. It's not like they're lowballing him. They're not giving him like 1 year at $20 million or something like that. It's again, without knowing the specifics, the Steelers aren't trying to lowball TJ. I wouldn't think. It's just more an argument of, like you said, how much is guaranteed on.
He might think it's a lowball, right?
Maybe. Maybe that would explain the deuces. Maybe that would explain JJ going on McAfee last week and talking about it the way he did.
Whatever he feels his worth is. I mean, he does have a pretty good argument. You look at the stats. The stats are right up there with the Myles Garrett, if not better. I mean.
Yeah, as long as PFF isn't running the numbers, TJ is the better edge rusher.
Yeah. I mean, once again, I just don't understand some people's concept of why they should get rid of him too. I mean, you think getting rid of him, 30 years old, whatever, is just going to instantly get you multiple star players.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
It could, but
it could get you a hefty haul. But getting rid of TJ Watt now does not make you a better team. Just like we said, getting rid of George Pickens a few weeks ago doesn't make them a better team for this year. It doesn't. Maybe the atmosphere is better in the room, especially on the sidelines on game day, all that kind of stuff. But it does make you a better team immediately getting rid of a TJ Watt. It is a Monday, June 2nd, which means we will have a mystery guest on this Monday later in the show.
Oh, shoot. I probably should have looked at that thing that you sent me.
Yeah, I sent you an email, text with the rundown of what we're going over today. I'm sure you spent 0 seconds looking at that, right?
I didn't look at it at all.
Great job by you. Thanks, as always, to our presenting sponsors, the Dan Heck Team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, there's only one group of people to go with, the Dan Heck Team. Heck, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com, the key to your next door. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia. I see their names hanging from those for sale signs all over the area, and then bang, before I know it, it's been sold. They could do the same for you and get you into maybe your first home, maybe you're upgrading to a dream home for you, a forever home, whatever it may be. You're looking for real estate in the Pittsburgh area, the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, the people to talk to, and we thank them for presenting Cabali and Mac. So before we dive into the Rodgers stuff, because there was something said on Friday afternoon after we got done with our episode that makes you wonder about the whole Rodgers thing. But again, it's just a report. We'll get into that in a second. I did want to touch on the wide receiver part that we've talked about before, but we're still sitting here, and you brought up a good point a couple weeks ago. Hey, you'd like to get the wide receiver two thing taken care of before mini camp, so that they can get in, get acclimated, start to learn some things, and you maybe see what it looks like with DK, especially considering we may know if Rodgers is here or not by then. Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Gabe Davis, all still sitting out there unemployed and very affordable, considering what each of them is capable of. You've been high on Keenan Allen, I mean, way back since February when we first started talking about the offseason. Cooper, great locker room guy, good veteran influence. Gabe Davis was wide receiver two as recently as, what, last year?
No, he was in Jacksonville. Wide receiver one.
Yeah, so all of these guys would be a good compliment to DK Metcalf. understanding. God bless you. Man.
I couldn't find the mute button in time. Oh,
that's
well.
Okay. We wouldn't have it any other way. Considering the TJ Watt extension has yet to be done, considering Rodgers has yet to come in, there's still a great amount of flux in that number under the cap, of which they have about 30 to 35 mil to play with. That, I guess, could be the holdup here, but you know you might not get TJ done until the eve of the regular season. You know Rodgers is, as we'll get into in a minute, kind of just floating out there as an idea still, nothing concrete. So I don't know. Are those two things what's holding them back? Are those holding them back from going out and getting that complement wide receiver right now to DK Metcalf?
I think potentially a little bit. I mean, they don't want to overpay, right?
Okay, so let's take a Keenan Allen out of the equation then, who SpotTrack at least says has, well, no, they say Keenan Allen's got an $11 million market value. Cooper's closer to $18 million. Maybe you don't want to spend that much money, right? Yeah. And I don't think either one of those guys would cost that much right now on a one-year deal anyway, given that they've been sitting out on the open market this long. But, like, you could go out and get a Gabe Davis, I would think, for a number that would still leave you plenty of play under the cap.
Yeah. I mean, in Jacksonville, they signed Gabe Davis to be their one. Then they drafted Brian Thomas, what, a month later? And now they drafted Hunter after that. So he went from one to three quite quickly. So that's why he's obviously on the market. I think he would fit in here nicely, but it's all to do with money. I think it does. You don't want to overpay, but it's tough because you don't want to be left in the lurch either of saying, okay, these guys are gone. These are guys are gone. And now I don't have anything, you know, before you know it. And you were stuck in a situation where you were stuck in last year and looking for a wide receiver.
I also think if it works out, like let's say everything works out the way you want it to, but it happens on a later timeline, right? Like Rodgers doesn't come in next week. Yeah. He comes in July, right before the start of training camp or at the start of training camp. Let's say, therefore, you don't go out and get that other veteran wide receiver until that point in time too, because your cap concerns start to get a little settled. That's all well and good, but you're missing out on the OTAs and the mini camp and perhaps delaying the ability to build some of that chemistry that probably has to exist within the offense.
Well, as long as the quarterback's not here, you don't have to worry about that.
Fair.
They got to get on the page at the same time. I've been told a long time ago, when it comes to some of these guys, you're like, why don't they sign this guy? Why don't they sign this guy? Well, sometimes when these veteran receivers or just players in general have made a hefty salary over their career, they don't really want to come in and say, I'm really going to play for $5 million. I don't know if I really want to do this. It's not motivating me enough, this type of money, to be able to come out of retirement or continue to play right now. So maybe that has something to do with some of these guys, Cooper and Allen and such. But I don't know why, if you're those guys and really, really do want to play, what benefit is it for you to wait? I want to get the best deal I can get right now, but get in there. I don't want to sit there and wait till, boy, I hope somebody gets hurt in August. Yeah. And maybe somebody will call me. I don't want to be that guy. If you're on the flip side of it, if you're these guys who they're potentially going after, there's two sides to it. The Steelers could be wanting them, but they might not. They might say, hey, hold on a second here. We'll see.
And I do understand the perspective if I'm one of those guys, especially Cooper or Allen, of saying, I don't want to put my body through anything extra in spring and early summer if I don't have to. I'll just wait, like you said, until somebody gets dinged up in camp and somebody's in need of a wide receiver too. And I'll sign there. And maybe there's a little bit more leverage.
The thing about that is these guys can afford to do that because they already made a boatload of money.
Exactly. And again, they're older. So they're probably not interested in going through any extra reps during the spring and summer, during the off-season program and training camp. Thanks.
We can agree. We can agree they need a wide receiver.
Yes, absolutely. They cannot go into the season with Calvin Austin or Roman Wilson as their number two. What's that?
I don't think they can go into training camp without somebody in place too.
No, I think it. That's why I think it has to get done by the end of next week. I mean, you at least want to get the guy in there and get him a few reps with the people he's going to be around, I would think. Thanks to Southwest Greens for sponsoring Cabali and Mac as well. Fantastic to work with. You're worried about your lawn and how much time and money you're going to have to spend on it this summer. I get it. Nobody wants to do all that stuff. You don't want to have to go out and mow it twice a week when the grass is growing. You don't want to have to worry about it shriveling up and dying and having to water it constantly during the dead heat of summer. You don't want to have to worry about any of that stuff. You just want to have a beautiful lawn to be able to enjoy it. That's why SouthwestGreensPA.com is the place to go. Tell Jake the Cabali and Mac sent you. They'll get out there and tell you what a beautiful artificial lawn could look like, how much it'll cost, exactly what it could do for you and your family. You want the kids to be able to go out and play anytime, not have to worry, oh, they just sprayed the lawn this morning. There's fertilizer on it. Can't go out, kids. Want to worry about the dog going out there and doing its business? Don't worry. You treat it like a regular lawn, and you don't have to spend any of the time and money on the maintenance. You'll have the best-looking lawn in the neighborhood with the least amount of concern and the least amount of time and hassle spent on it with Southwest Greens. SouthwestGreensPA.com, the place to go. We thank them for supporting the show. So the reason I bring up the idea of building chemistry during OTAs, I mean, not that that's a new concept, is because, funny enough, just a couple years ago, when somebody went to a new team and was in a new offense, he brought up that point as to why he showed up early for OTAs.
For a long time, you know, the offseason is really for the young players. But with a new offense, being my first year here, I really wanted to be around for at least some of the beginning things to just let them know kind of how I like to do things. You know, like I said, some of the code words, some of the little adjustments, some of the ways I see the game, sparking that conversation.
That's Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago. Now, that was also the year he showed up for the first 2 weeks of OTAs and then left to go to Egypt during mandatory minicamp. And it was a storyline all year in New York. Saleh didn't throw him under the bus, but didn't try to hide the reason that Aaron wasn't there, and said it was an unexcused absence, led to some friction between Saleh and Rodgers that I don't know if it ever got resolved. Didn't seem like it, certainly, over the last 2 years. But that's Aaron Rodgers right there telling you why it's important for a new quarterback to get into the building as soon as possible.
I'm not really worried about that, honestly. I think they got plenty of time to get on the same page, so to speak. I think the biggest thing is learning Arthur Smith's system, maybe the terminology, and maybe morphing that terminology with some of the stuff he knows more than throwing it to an open Pat Freiermuth who likes to, you know, his 10-yard digs or 10.5 yards. I mean, I think that stuff can get worked up in July and August. So
yeah,
it seems like a good talking point of the people who don't like Aaron Rodgers. Oh, you're never going to get on the same page.
I don't think it's never. I think he's, especially given what we saw from him, especially in like December of last year, it's still in there. Like I always say, it's still in there. Sometimes it'll come out in flashes. Sometimes, like their game, they had a win over Jacksonville late in the year down in Florida where he looked like peak Aaron Rodgers for much of that game. And, you know, that's still in there. It could come out for snaps at a time, quarters at a time, weeks at a time. Who knows? But I think it delays the process of all that happening. Everybody being on the same page, the longer you wait. Entirely possible he signs an hour after we're done with this and none of this matters. But it feels more and more likely that we could be waiting around until training camp.
I don't know.
You're not worried at all.
I'm not worried. I mean, what is the big deal?
The first time he throws a pick outside the hashes to someone who sits down in a zone or cuts in instead of cutting out, like, it's going to be the communication thing is going to come up, especially
if that was early in the receiver over the quarterback.
What's that?
I'm going to blame the receiver over the quarterback.
Even though the quarterback wasn't here for the first few weeks or a couple of months of the offseason.
I mean, honestly, these OTAs last, I would like to say, hour and 25 minutes, half of it's walkthrough, quarter of it's special teams. They might have one team session. They got some seven-on-sevens. What are you accomplishing there? I'm sure you would love to have it in a perfect world, but I don't think that we'll look at September and say, man, if he was only here in May, this would have made a big, big difference. I just don't see it. Now, where you got to watch at is if he continues to hold out, not sign, then all of a sudden some of these players, some of the veterans are like, hey, enough of this crap. I mean, sort of the Cam Hayward, either you want to be here or you don't.
Yes.
Yanking us around. I think that's more of a concern than if he's going to be able to throw a back shoulder fade to DK Metcalf.
Well, no, there's certain receivers. DK Metcalf is a great example. You throw the ball in their area, it's catchable, right? Like Pickens was that way. Metcalf is that way. There's other guys I think you do have to build some timing and rapport with. And you're right. If he comes in on the first day of training camp at the end of July, early August, whenever it gets started at St. Vincent, they got 85, 90% of the reps still in that they would have gotten during this preparation period. Well, because to your point, there's not a lot of full team reps or that kind of stuff happening during OTAs and minicamp. But maybe that's the difference between going 2-2 in September and going 3-1. And maybe that's the difference between 9-8 and 10-7.
Here's the thing. Even if they do, when they do show up to training camp, how much do you think the 41-year-old quarterback's going to actually get live team reps?
I would hope he gets enough
of practice.
That okay, that's a fair point too. But every number of snaps less that he gets than he could have had is going to lead to these kind of questions every time there's a mistake or a miscommunication in the offense, especially early.
We should worry about the stats and fades and all that stuff. It's just it's just weird to me that he is dying on that hill, so to speak, of just not being that guy that doesn't show up. Is this what you want to be known as? I'm just not going to show up because I have a strange personality.
Well, like I said the other day, how much does Aaron Rodgers care about what people outside his inner circle really think?
That's probably what makes him a good quarterback.
On one hand, there's this theory out there that he doesn't want to come in until he's fully committed. And then on the other hand, it's, well, you're Aaron Rodgers. You're not supposed to really give a shit what anybody else thinks, right? Because you're Aaron Rodgers and you're your own unique being. So which is it?
I mean, what it should have been is, hey, I'm coming to sign here, but I'm not showing up till training camp. So when he shows up to the Kentucky Derby and Joe Rogan and some goofy concert, that at least it makes sense, you know?
But then people would have been even more out against him. It would have been missing minicamp with the Jets all over again.
I mean, it's just a strange hill to die on that we're sitting here not signing in June and July just for the sake of, I don't want to put my name on here quite yet.
Yeah, interesting point was made by national NFL insider Tom Pelissero, too, on the Rich Eisen show on Friday. I mentioned this earlier or alluded to it. It was after we were done on Friday. But a very simple answer to what a lot of people, including ourselves, have theorized about Rodgers.
Told that he has not affirmatively told the Steelers that he's coming.
He has not affirmatively told the Steelers that he's coming.
Of course.
Well,
on the flip side of that, he hasn't affirmatively told him that he's not coming.
My God. Right? Open to everything and attached to nothing, as he said to Pat a month ago.
Wow. You remember a lot of things. I can't remember what happened about an hour ago.
I guess I know. That's why I'm here. It's going to be not just a bad look, like I've said before, not just egg on their face if he doesn't come in at all. But think about the scenarios then. Like, Mason becomes your starter, I would presume, which we've discussed here, we're okay with, right? Like I think we're both Mason guys. And I'm fine with that if that ends up being the case. But then there's also the possibility, and don't think people haven't thought about this too. What if we get 5-6 weeks into the season, right? And somebody gets hurt somewhere else, Minnesota, or anywhere else for that matter, that might be in desperate need of a starting quarterback if their number one should go down. And then all of a sudden he's changed his mind because, I don't know, he watched Red Zone for 5 minutes and caught the itch again and he wants to get out there. If he were to blow off the Steelers after all of this and then show up somewhere else like a month into the season, dear God.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I still think he signs within the next
You said by
weeks.
Friday.
Yep. You know, Friday over the weekend, be there by Monday or Tuesday. Depends on when it's broken, you know. I still think that's the plan. I mean, it's not going to hurt you to show up for 2.5 days and put a helmet on and go up and down the incline and go over to Gateway Clipper Fleet. And
Aaron Rodgers isn't riding the incline. He's not riding the incline or getting a cap and cheese. And
would you be okay with him signing but not showing up then? Okay, Aaron got stuff to do. He signed, but we're going to excuse him from minicamp.
I think, it would lend a certain sense of calm to the hysteria that has come around with everybody going, is he even going to show up? But I would still, I wouldn't take a huge issue with him not coming in for minicamp, but I still, like I said, I'm a believer in, just like he said 2 years ago when he was first in New York, it could only help, not hurt, to get in and spend more time around the guys that you're going to be playing offense with. It can only help. It can't hurt.
You're 41 years old. I mean, how much time do you want to go hang out in the studio at Y108?
I'm 45, actually, but I don't mind going into the studio because that's my job. Well, that's what I do.
I'm saying if you can prevent a 8-hour shift, then, you know, work smarter, not harder, right?
Well, the smarter thing to do would be, just like he said 2 years ago, get into the building. I mean, to your point, OTAs and minicamp, it's a whole lot of dry runs and walkthroughs and not a lot of team periods. It's not like you're putting your body through a ton of stress, especially as a starting quarterback. Get in there, take some reps, talk to some guys. Hey, I use this word instead of this word for a hot route, or this is my signal instead of that signal, or whatever it may be. And then get to the business of actually, you know, settling into the offense. It can't hurt to do that on June 10th rather than July 31st.
I'm just looking at your buddy Mark Malone here. The exact term is, the more you can do, the less you get paid, not the harder you work. The more you can do, the less you get paid.
The more you can do, the less you get paid.
Well, let's think about this right now. Joey Porter, I don't even know. Joey Porter will get more money, even though he only plays one position, than Miles Killebrew, who can play about six. The more you can do, the less you get paid.
I would say that the better that people think you do something, probably the more you give. I understand the jack of all trades, master of none thought.
Or the classic Jacob Fatu. Who said it the other on Friday, SmackDown? Logan Paul. The great Logan Paul said, he acts, about Cody Rhodes, he acts like he's standing on third base and acting like he just
hit a triple. He was born on third base and acts like he hit a triple. There you go. I knew what you were reaching for.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
He called Cody and Jey Uso Nepo baby.
You know a lot of people that were born on third base and thought they hit a triple.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. I don't think that's necessarily what we're talking about with Rodgers here. I mean, we kind of went off the rails there, but
I just want to talk to Mark Malone. That's all.
You know, that's not the real Mark Malone in the comments, right? I hate to break it to you.
Mark Malone had a fabulous mustache. And yesterday, I shaved to go on the pump show, and he bumped me. We won't bring that up.
Bumped
me as I was walking in, and I left a mustache on, and it lasted about 3 minutes, and I'm like, I look like an idiot.
No, that has to happen. I'm sorry.
I'm like,
I don't know if we make a bet later this year or what, but there should be a mustache bet at some point.
I'm surprised.
Maybe we do it for November. That's the month you're supposed to grow mustaches, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, what is it?
I think we make a bet. We're going to have to come up with a bet for like the first, how many weeks are there before November? There are 7 games before November. I think we make some kind of bet over the first 7 weeks of the season.
I would like to see you have one of those big Fu Manchus.
I could do that. It wouldn't look good, but I could do it. Thanks, as always, to Impact HVAC as well for supporting Cabali and Mac. We appreciate them. Look, it's going to heat up here soon, and you want to make sure your AC is working. Give them a call at 412-297-1852 or visit them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH, and they'll come on out, give your AC a checkup, a tune-up, whatever it needs to make sure it's running in peak condition just in time for the hot summer weather to kick in here, which hopefully it will in the next couple of days. And again, in the dead of winter, the furnace stops working as ours did. You give them a call, they come out, they service it, clean it up, replace it if they need to, and do great work. Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852 or Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. All right, time to bring in the Monday mystery guest. Friday, June 13th, he's going to be at the Squirrel Hill Sports Bar right on Forward Ave there in the heart of Squirrel Hill. It is Matt Light, my man.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Look at that beautiful face. He's opened for Jeremy Piven before. He is a Steelers super fan. He's got the Berg bus as well. Check him out on Instagram at Matt Light Comedy, at Matt Light on X. How you doing, brother? How you feel about this whole Aaron Rodgers thing?
I just wanted to be over with, man. I mean, a lot of people don't want Rodgers. I want him. Why not? But I still have a soft spot for Mason. I always had. I always felt like he never got like his actual opportunity to start. I mean, even I know that like when they brought in Kenny and Mitch and all those guys, a lot of the players still thought Mason was better than both of them. He's never really had his opportunity to shine. And everyone's like, well, look at 2019. It's like, okay. Juju got hurt that year. Deontay was hurt a couple games. So was James Conner. And that was probably their worst offensive line they've ever had in the last 6 years. So it's like he's just had bad luck after bad luck after bad luck that I would just hope, you know, going into what year 6 now it is for him or 7, that he just gets the keys to the car. And worst case scenario, you can bring in Will Howard if you're looking at like 2-4 going on from there.
Well, Matt, I'm just going to switch gears real quick here. Being a writer myself, I was always interested how comedians write jokes. Do you have like a little tape recorder next to your bed and say 3 o'clock in the morning saying, you know, I got one right here, a little notepad. You're driving down the parkway saying, oh, I got one right there. How does that process work? I'm always interested.
So I've been doing stand-up for 20 years. And when I first started, it was a lot of notebooks. So I have a notebook next to my shower because I feel like that's where you're either you're singing or you're thinking. So I had one there next to the bed in the car. But usually now it's just like a voice recording on my phone. And I one thing I learned is being a comedian is the worse your life is, the funnier you are. So I don't say no to any opportunities. I'm just like, hey, worst case scenario, I can talk about it on stage.
What's this dirt show all about? Tell me what's happening at Squirrel Hill Sports Bar on June 13th.
So when Motley Crue came out with that movie, The Dirt, I needed a title for a dirty show. I took it from them. And it pretty much what it is it showcases 4 Pittsburgh comedians in the city of Pittsburgh. They get to do their dirty material that you wouldn't see at the clubs usually, because you have to have a somewhat clean set when you work at the clubs, when you're featuring or hosting. So they get 15 minutes. And then in between, I do games with the audience and give them prizes. I make them do embarrassing things on stage and silly things. So we've been doing that. I mean, I sold it out of the Improv every month for 4 years. And then I just started taking the Squirrel Hill Sports Bar just because it was more money. So
nothing wrong with that, brother.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with
it at all. Now, What is it like when people Google your name to see where you might be playing, might you be doing, and it comes up with the New England Patriots offensive line?
The left tackle, number 72, Matt Light from Purdue. So I love this because – so I'll tell you a quick story. I remember I was in fifth grade and I was watching Notre Dame because they're always on NBC, and they said Matt Light. And I looked, I go, who's that? Purdue, I saw he was a left tackle, and so he got drafted in 01. And when he got drafted in 01, I'm like, in football, you don't have a second team, but I was like 11. I'm like, whatever, I'll have a second team. Well, that second team became the New England Patriots. And his rookie year, they beat us. And I was like, screw Matt Light, screw New England. I go, that was short-lived. I don't like this team at all. I hate them. I mean, I remember that game when Cordell, I cried that whole day. So what's nice about that, though, is it's not so much on Facebook as it is on X. A lot of people will tweet at me. There's a station called WEEI. So they'll tweet, we got Matt Light coming up next. I go, so I'll reply. And they go, I cheated and so did Tom Brady. And then you get all these people that are commenting, like, oh my God, I knew he's an idiot, blah, 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 blah. And so it's fine. I like messing with those guys a lot.
Do you have season tickets to the
season? I'm in 112.
How long have you had season
tickets? I've had them since the COVID year, actually. So that was, and it was so much fun because, I mean, you went from having 4,000 people in a stadium. Listen, COVID was awful, right? But COVID football was kind of sick because anything you yelled, they heard. I mean, I was chirping at Carson Wentz. He literally turned around because I was like 20 rows away. He's like, seriously, dude, there's no one else. Can you just shut up? And I was like, all right, I'm sorry. I just like stopped. But I've had him since 2000, but I've gone to every home game. Since 2020, but I've gone to every home game pretty much since I was 12. I would scalp by myself. I would take the bus down and scalp with my buddies. And my first game I ever went to was the 97 AFC Championship game against Denver. So I, you know, when we finally, you know, went to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 40, I was like, finally, you know.
Wow. I thought you said scalp. You said scalp or scout?
Scalp. No, I'm not. I'm 5'5" with asthma. I'm not scouting anything, dude. No, I would go down and we would just wait till kickoff. And I'd be like, you want ketchup? Do you want to eat these tickets or what? And then they'd give me them cheaper.
Yeah, Kobe year was crazy. I mean,
fun.
I mean, what were we looking at? There were some games that there was family members and that's it. I think it was the Chiefs game. Were you at the Chiefs game where I believe –
the family only was Washington when they lost.
Yes. That was when we kept getting moved. Yes.
Yeah, because I actually – Mason Rudolph was actually going to get me – he came to see me with Jeremy Piven that year, and he was going to get me tickets. But you had to fill out this long form, when's the last time you've seen the person, yada, 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 yada. And I was like, yeah, dude, I haven't seen you since June, so I don't think it's
– I think I'm safe.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a lot of fun those COVID years. When they went 11-0, I actually would jump in the river after every win. And first of all, fun fact, I can't swim. And then you add a couple Iron Cities in there, I'm definitely not swimming. So
you're lucky to be here.
Yeah, and the problem was the week I didn't do it because it was so cold because the season progressed, they lost. So I think
fuck it all up, man.
I blew it.
Yeah, wait. Great job.
I'm sorry.
So, how do you? This is interesting. How do you end up in the Piven Rudolph ecosystem? How does that happen?
So I've been working at the Improv for a while, and you know, you get to pick the guys you want to open up for if you're one of the top guys at the club. And I wanted to work with Jeremy Piven because, surprisingly, not because of Entourage. I just watched Entourage for the first time. It was him, his role in Rush Hour when he plays the gay hairdresser or the dressers, buttercream, crock skin, buttercream. I just thought it was so funny. I was like, I want to open for this guy. So he wasn't friendly the first time I met him, like not friendly at all. And he was very short with me. And I'm like, well, the only way to get his attention is to bury him on stage. So I went before him, and he just got into stand-up, and I crushed, and I pat him on the back. I said, hey, follow that. And I went in the green room. And because I was like, he's in my world. Like, he's a great actor, everything like that. But comedy, he's where I'm, you know. And afterwards, he's, oh, that was really good, man. And then he became my buddy because I could help him write bits and stuff like that. So I worked with him 2019, 2021, and then just recently. But I think this was the end of it after the Pittsburgh show. But it was fun.
You, what's your thoughts on Mac begging him for tickets to go to?
I didn't beg. I asked. That
he,
seems- listen,
he didn't pay me for the two shows that I did. So I, next time he's in town, I'll comp the whole station. He ghosted me, man. I was supposed to go on tour. I'll air it out. I don't care. I was supposed to go on tour with him. I did Cleveland. I did Pittsburgh. I did really well with the Pittsburgh show. And man, he just, after that, he like ghosted me and never, he's like, what's your Venmo? And then he never Venmo.
Damn.
So I'm going to beat him up when he comes back to Pittsburgh. I'm going to whoop Ari's ass.
Invite him to a tailgate party, not telling him what's up. And then
just put him through a table.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. I mentioned my favorite movie was him when he was on our podcast was Lucas. I don't think he really appreciated that.
He did not.
He's not the best. He kind of sucks. Like honestly, like he kind of sucked as a person. But whatever, you know, you gotta pay your dues and you gotta be respectful to these guys. But after working with them for 6 years, I'm good.
You're good. Yeah. What was it like opening that show up though, dude? Like,
dude, it was fun. So like every year I headline an ugly sweater party, and we do it at the Carnegie Music Hall in Homestead. And so I know that that's my crowd. Like I know they're there for me. I'm headlining it. It's a big deal for me. When they announced my name at the Byam though, and I saw Terrible Towels, I was like, this is kind of sick that I'm back home in Pittsburgh and that they're there for me and him. So that's always a good time. And theater shows are cool too, because the lighting, you literally cannot see anybody.
Right.
I do a lot of crowd work. I like being able to see the audience. So for those shows, it's always different and kind of keeps you on your feet a little bit, but they're always a good opportunity anytime there's more people.
What is your favorite venue if you had one over the years?
You know what? I would probably say, the Smiling Moose. And the reason why the Smiling Moose is obviously now gone in the South Side, but the reason why I liked it is because as an open micer, it was like, I don't know if you guys watch wrestling, but it was like the ECW, right? And it was like, if you could go over there, if you could make people laugh there, you knew you were good. Like I tried to do like the hardcore, like emo kid punk rooms. And then I would do like urban rooms, just things that I just shouldn't fit in. And I look like an idiot. And if I walked out without any punches to the face, I was like, all right, I did my job. So I always liked those rooms. But as far as like aesthetically, the Byam was sick. The Byam was probably the coolest looking one I've done.
What do you do when you're on stage at the Smiling Moose and like some 6'2", 6'4" dude with like leather chaps on starts heckling you and you're like, I got like three lines I could drop on this guy right now, but how far do I want to go?
I go the whole way.
Yeah.
You have to. I mean, cause you know, like you're getting your ass kicked regardless. Right. But not on the mic. Like that's the one thing where I'm like, okay, if we're scoring this, I won one round that's on the microphone, but then he's beating me up. I don't have health insurance. I lost those next two rounds. I'm definitely getting my words in for sure. And always like, there's always like every comedian has a friend there at a show, usually that's another comedian that's bigger. So like my buddy Ray Zawadney, he's in New York now, but he's like 6'3". So I'd always stand behind him. But yeah, you want me? You got to get through him first. You know what I mean? So I always had that like that diesel protection for Shawn Michaels.
Wow, he's fitting in pretty good here, Mac, with the wrestling reference.
Yes. Trying, man.
The click. Nailing.
Oh yeah.
So what do you think of R-Truth? Think it's
I think it's for real.
I have no idea.
53 years old. I mean, like, he's not getting any younger. I will say, I think he's the most underrated character in the last two decades. I personally, being a comedian, I love watching people break. And my favorite moment of R-Truth is when he had a deal with Paul Heyman. He's like, I'm going to get Brock Lesnar to break. He goes, I guarantee you can't. And he gets him to break, and then he F5s him. R-Truth is just a national treasure, man. I know it doesn't fit the storyline, But I really would have liked to seen him win the title and then Cena immediately challenge him and beat him again. Yeah. So now Cena's at 18. You can give Orton a couple titles, you know, up until then. But, yeah, I wanted to see Truth get a serious nod at one point because he's just been the comedy act for 10 years.
The best suggestion I've seen so far online is that AEW signs him and has him just wander around in the background of backstage bits looking lost for like 2 months. And then all of a sudden, he just starts approaching former WWE guys going, "Hey, man, where you been?"
Dude, that's so funny.
I mean,
I love that. And listen, like, I think it's something AEW needs to do, man. My my best friend is Britt Baker, AEW wrestler. Mm-hmm.
Legend.
And I used to go to all the shows when they were in Pittsburgh and sometimes when they're in Texas. And I think they need to switch it up a little bit. And I think, you know, I think their biggest problem was when they brought in all those WWE guys. They didn't know what to do. Like, they were in 2022 and 2021, they were more over at one point than WWE was. And now it's just like, I don't know. The John Moxley thing with him just like stabbing himself with chopsticks or whatever the hell that is. Like, that's cool, dude. But like, why? What does that have to do with wrestling?
You can have that, but you better balance it out.
There's got to be a reason.
Like, and you got to be lighter. Like, I get the feel, I don't watch a lot of AEW, to be honest. I just don't have the time. But, like, it feels like they take themselves a little too seriously.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, like, when younger, there was a comparison from RVD to Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels always said to RVD, he's like, "Hey, I can do everything you do. I just choose not to." Because in the story, you got to build up to it. You know what I mean? Like, if you had Paul Heyman going through tables every week, nobody would care. Right. It's that they finally got a hold of him. You know what I mean? And I think AEW storytelling is just, they don't have it. They're like, "Hey, let's throw 30 grand into this scene. Let's throw you through a car." Why? Well, because it's Wednesday. Why not? It just doesn't make sense.
I'm still not 100% sold that this is not a work. I know. True. I know they've taken his stuff off the merch off of the website. And
well, that's sold out though. So that shirt, they only did a limited run and they sold out. So, because all his other merch is still there.
I mean, it makes no sense of why. He's very likable. He's very talented. 53-year-old guy who's, I mean, just doesn't make any sense. And when other superstars are tweeting in instantly, just put my antenna up a little bit. I don't know.
I agree, because it's like, it's not like, you know, WWE's preventing him from doing something else at 53 years old. You know what I mean? And I really don't think AEW, as much as they sign anyone who has a pulse, I'm pretty sure they're not going to be like, "Oh, we need him. You know? So I always thought like he was always an ambassador for them. And he's also promoting, like, the last promo he did was promoting the Saudi Arabia show in June. So it's like they have you promoting shows that you're not going to be at.
Yeah.
You're not even
with the company. The timing's really odd.
Yeah, which I think is
what gives us all the idea that it might be a work. Before we get you out of here, Matt, let you get on with the rest of your day. Follow Matt on X at Matt Light. He's not the New England Patriots left tackle. And on Instagram at Matt Light Comedy. You also got the Berg Bus, which you can find on Instagram at Berg Bus. Basically just a roaming party bus.
It's a tailgate on a bus.
That's amazing. And can people book it, or is it just like, "Hey, whenever we feel like taking it out, we're going to take it out. We're going to invite people on and have a blast."
So what's cool about the Berg Bus is you can book the Berg Bus yourself, and you can have like a bachelorette party, or you can make it public. And then it's you and 44 different strangers. You're all singing Sweet Caroline by the end. Before we go though, my favorite one that I do is we do it all Steeler season. It's called the Black and Gold Tour. We do it the Saturday or the day before Steelers home games. We do four of them. And it's more Steelers themed. There's Steelers trivia. We have icy lights we hand out. I put it this way. I live in Dallas, Texas, and Pittsburgh. I fly to Pittsburgh every home weekend to do this. It's that much fun.
Wow.
So you got it. You guys got it.
I'm guessing you can't wait till the new airport opens up then.
Oh yeah. I'm ready. This one's a mess. However, though, I've been able to get on without the real ID, which is nice.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't even want to go into that. People.
Ask Kubali about not paying for his passport.
I did pay for it. They ripped me off.
Would they overcharge you?
No, there was some kind of third-party website that goes through the government site.
Really?
Trying to renew it. It just takes your money.
You got doged. Somebody ran off with your passport.
But I complained loud enough that they gave me my $100 back.
So there's a fake Matt Light in New England. There's going to be a fake Mark Cuboli in Iowa now.
It's going to be an Indian dude. Working at a convenience store one day.
I love it.
Oh, I'm Mark Cuboli. Nice to meet you. People are getting mad that I did an Indian voice. All right, Matt, we're going to let you run, brother. Thanks so much for doing this today. We appreciate you. June 13th, a week from Friday, Squirrel Hill Sports Bar, the Dirt Show, right there on Forward Avenue in the heart of Squirrel Hill. Matt's going to make you laugh, as well as several other Pittsburgh stand-up comedians. Great show. Haven't been to one before, but now I got to get out to one. Thanks so much for the time, dude. We'll catch up soon. All
right, thanks, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Matt Light, Pittsburgh stand-up comedian, and as he mentioned, he's open for Jeremy Piven.
I'm surprised you didn't ask him for free tickets. What? You might be frozen right now.
I'm not frozen. I don't understand your inability to ask people for favors.
I ask him, but there's a boundary somewhere. Apparently, a boundary that you don't feel that you. Of course.
Speaking of free stuff, guess what I got over the weekend?
Skeeners.
No.
Got my very own TJ hat. How'd you get an all black one?
Because Vickers likes me better.
No, probably because of my big dome.
Probably. I am not going to wear this, though, on camera. I'll wear it around. But you have
what
made
size
your...
is it?
I don't know.
Look, it's not that hard.
Small, medium.
That's why you got a little wee wee head.
But I am not going to wear this until TJ signs the extension. Okay. You wear yours in solidarity with TJ until the extension gets signed. I'll save mine for once the deal
is
done.
Nice. Did he drop it off right on your porch?
Yeah. He just dropped it in the mailbox on Saturday while I was at a softball tournament all day.
I think he wants us to load the Skeens ballot box for him.
Not happening. Sorry. Can't do it. As long as he's following on YouTube, he'll be eligible to win the autographed Paul Skeens baseball once we get to 2,500 followers. All right. A couple other things we wanted to touch on before we get out of here.
Wrestling fan. We got into R-Truth without getting into R-Truth.
I know. That was good. That might end up as a clip. Look for it on the socials. Do you want to do the... I think we should do this.
I should look at the text you sent me so I can know.
No, this is a surprise for you. I mentioned it over the weekend, but it was probably one of the texts you didn't read. Are you ready?
I was busy this weekend.
Here we go. Are you ready? It's the Cuboli NBA Minute. Come on. Tell me why Pascal Siakam is a Hall of Famer. Do it. Go.
I said he needs another title. That'd be two titles. Eastern Conference MVP, big game player. He's averaging 22 points?
25 in the Eastern
Conference. I'm talking about over the past 10 or 12 seasons. Very underrated. I think he falls into the, as we were talking about earlier, I do remember this one, the Andrew McCutchen Hall of Very Good.
Uh-huh.
Needs a little bit more to be the Hall of Fame, but I think Siakam is very underrated.
Did he deserve Eastern Conference Finals MVP over Ty Halliburton?
Yes, absolutely. I think he did.
Did you see the clip I saw circulating this morning? Halliburton thought he was going to win. He started to make his way towards the podium as they were making the announcement, and then they mentioned Siakam's name, and he had to back off.
I think Siakam had tremendous. Boy, that's really annoying.
Yep, that's the whole point. Now, so you talking about the NBA, but we did it
so
anyway.
So why don't you talk about why McCutchen shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame?
Because his numbers are nowhere close. He's a Pirates Hall of Famer. That's a complete and total different thing than being a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. I understand, like you said, Halls of Fame, for the most part, have become Halls of Very Good. Totally get it. But maybe if Kutch had a ring, there would be an argument to be made for him as a Hall of Famer. He's been a very good player. Not everybody who wins an MVP award at some point in their career becomes a Hall of Famer because of it. I love Kutch. It's a shame that he was gone from Pittsburgh for as long as he was, But maybe if he had stayed and they had kept the team around him, they would have actually gone on a run in a postseason. We'll never know. But he's not a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think he's a tweener. I think he's a very tweener. If he had a maybe a title under his belt, if he had a, well, a playoff win. Did he win any playoff games? Series wins.
No.
Oh, he went to San Francisco. He went to Philly. They stunk, didn't they?
Was in New York for a cup Milwaukee of coffee.
Stunk. So I bet you there's a lot of people would push back and say, absolutely, he's a Hall of Famer. Maybe it's just this area.
He's a Pirates Hall of Famer. I'll just leave it at that.
So like Barry Bonds, you know.
Well, that's different. Well, you're talking about the all-time
home run. Bonds is in and he's not in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. So,
right, which is a completely separate conversation. We don't need to go down that path. But, like,
Ralph Kiner's hands are in the Hall of Fame.
They're honored at PNC Park anyway. Is he top three, top four of Pirates of the last 75 years? It's like we're not going to go back to like Archie Vaughn and the, you know, Big Poison, Little Poison, Honus Wagner, all that stuff.
Well, I'm guessing Dave Parker's better. Stargell's better.
Clemente and Stargell. Parker's a tough one.
I think Parker's better.
Okay, so Clemente, Stargell, Parker, and then Kutch. Is that your Pirates Mount Rushmore of the last 75 years?
No, because probably you could probably throw Bonds go on in there. Why can't you throw Bonds in there? Just his Pirates numbers are amazing.
Oh yeah, Jesus! Pirates Mount Rushmore of the last 75 years: Clemente, Stargell, Bonds. And then the fourth spot, I think, is up for debate.
What about Kiner? He's up there. They haven't had many pitchers, though. I guess Candelaria, Drabeck, but those are not Hall of Famers.
No.
Teague?
No. Teague.
Ike Redmond?
Pokey Reese?
You know. I won't say it's a pet peeve of me. But when somebody announces their retirement, and my first reaction was, what, he's not retired already? Good luck, Josh Harrison.
But... Oh, you're referencing Jay Hay, who announced Josh Harrison announced his retirement.
Did any of us think that he was still active ball player? I didn't.
Who was he with last year? Philly, maybe? I don't know. Jay Hay was always a good dude, and he was fun to watch play ball. Like, some of those rundowns that he snuck his way out of, great stuff, fun baseball, but yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't know he was still active either. So that's
Buckos, a fair point. Baby, Buckos cracked the bed last night.
Yeah, who was the guy that pitched the seventh inning and ruined everything? Yeah, I'd exactly. Never heard of him.
Exactly.
Why is he coming in a 2-run ball game? I don't know. Maybe the bullpen was shot for some reason.
There is this guy named Bubba Chandler that they could bring up, knowing that they brought their number two prospect up and put him in the pen anyways.
Yeah, that's a possibility. We'll see if they actually do something like that. Before we wrap up here, I gotta ask, the Cabali concoction, what
rocking it?
This was posted on X by Cassidy from
I don't change very much, do I?
Have you been wearing the same clothes all weekend?
It was sitting on the my chair here, so I just threw it on before I got on. Got to represent.
Unsweetened iced tea with watermelon electrolytes. In the span of 24 hours, you not only ate sushi, but you also had
the same
watermelon electrolytes.
See, here's the thing.
Who's the cake eater now, Cabali?
You know that I'm a big iced tea / Diet Werner ginger ale mixture, like the Arnold Palmer. Would you get that picture off there already?
Why?
So I'm a big fan of that because I use the unsweetened tea and use something typically, you know, no sugar or whatever to sweeten it up. They didn't really have anything there to go along with my unsweetened iced tea. So I saw this watermelon electrolytes.
Was it like in a little packet and you just dumped it in?
No, it was in a vase or what? Not vase.
A pitcher?
Pitcher. It was like a
carafe.
No, it wasn't that. It was one of those. So you put a little squirt on there to sweeten up the iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to say that I am totally the inventor of the Arnold Palmer like iced tea ginger ale mixture.
Iced tea and ginger ale.
Unsweetened iced tea.
Unsweetened iced tea and ginger ale.
Zero sugar diet burners iced tea with it because it gives you a little kick.
Hmm.
So you use the ice, use the ginger ale to sweeten up the iced tea.
Right.
Without using, you know, cane sugar. Cane sugar.
So you're giving me an idea. I mean, if I'm going to have iced tea, I'm just going to have sweetened iced tea. I mean,
I don't like sweet iced tea.
Why?
Well, I do like sweet and iced tea if my neighbors are watching this.
One more thing, actually, neighbors. Before I let you, one more thing, and then we're going to go. Monday Night Raw tonight, the final men's qualifying match for Money in the Bank. Triple threat, CM Punk, AJ Styles, and El Grande Americano.
What are we doing? I can pretty much guarantee it's not going to be the Punkster.
What are we doing here?
That's what they use the Money in the Bank for, to propel careers. So
you know who would be great for this? You know who belongs in this match instead of El Grande Americano?
Jake Gable.
No. Karrion Kross, who hasn't even – I don't think he's even seen more than a handful of backstage segments or interviews since WrestleMania.
Since his blow-up.
Yeah. Since his allegedly shoot blow up,
Look at it. I mean, let's look at it. You got Solo and LA Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Those two seem to be battling each other. Rollins versus Penta versus Andrade. So maybe it is CM Punk. I still don't think it will be CM Punk. I mean, just to round out the Money in the Bank men's.
I don't understand. Look
at the women's group. If Alexa Bliss does. Alexa Bliss doesn't win the women's one. I don't know what we're doing.
I still don't understand the lack of push for Killer Cross. I just don't. Doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know. Maybe the in-ring work. I can't really answer you on that one.
I mean, the guy's been an actual shoot fighter in his history. Like, I would think he's got the ability to move in the ring and do what needs to be done. I don't know.
Speaking of this, I just got a text message from the Georgia Department of Motor Vehicle.
Oh, no.
That says that I owe an outstanding traffic ticket.
Wait, this was a text?
A text.
I got the same one over the weekend from a weird number from the Pennsylvania DMV.
Yeah, it's that one's normal, but this Georgia. Knowing that I haven't been in Georgia in I guess I was there last year, but I was taking an Uber.
Please pay immediately before enforcement to avoid license suspension. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to text you right back and give you my credit card number.
I mean, it's just, I think I got a breach. I think my information has been breached.
Are you going to resolve the passport thing, or are you just not going to fly anywhere?
I got the money back. It's literally you go on there and you do your passport and it says $94, whatever it was. Apparently this was $94 to prepare the document. It was literally just typing in an automatic system of your information into two pages. I'm like,
and this was an actual government site?
.gov. Wow. So I'm like, what's it? Then they send it back to me and said, you did not send in payment. I'm like, wait a second. So I complained. They gave me my $94 back. So now I got to guess go to the post office and say, what do I do?
It's easy at the post office.
I got everything filled out. And I got the picture taken, but I just don't know what to do at this point.
Go to the post office. They'll even take your picture if the picture you have.
I already got the picture. I just got the picture taken. I sent everything in. They sent it back. But I did get screwed out of like $10 priority mail service.
Your passport got doged.
You know, it's tough, man. Somebody tells me your passport doesn't work if you get a real ID, too. It like makes it invalid.
I don't know. I can't deal with all this right now. Wednesday, we'll do another episode. We'll do it a little bit earlier so Kaboom can get down there and cover OTAs on Wednesday morning. Who knows?
The same thing.
Yep. That's your uni now. That's what you wear. The TJ hat and the For the Brand hoodie. That's what everybody's going to be counting on. So we'll do it Wednesday morning. who knows? Rodgers could be here, could not be here. They could sign another wide receiver or not. We could have more to talk about with the TJ Watt extension. A million different things. Plus, we'll have Tuesday's workout to talk about as well. As we continue to work through week two of OTAs, we got you covered here on Cabali and Mac. Thanks, as always, to our presenting sponsors, the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they'll take care of you. We'll take care of you as well, keeping an eye on OTAs. Look up at the camera and say goodbye, Cabali. Bye. See you later. Thanks for